is here in this place. Oh, Father, we worship you. We glorify you this morning. We're so thankful for your presence. We're so thankful that you're our reality. You're our every day. You're our every hour. You're our every moment. We're so thankful that we know you, sir, that you live big in us, that the revelation of your word, we've got it. Our eyes are continually being flooded with light, that we see and know what the hope of our calling is. We're so thankful that we are the church, that we are the body of Christ. Oh, thank you for believing in us, Father. Thank you for giving us your spirit. Thank you for showing and revealing who you are. Thank you that we are you in the earth, and we glorify you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, find a couple people or two or three and just tell them how glad you're in the house of God. Hallelujah. Push me back in here. Next time, Robin, come and help me, okay? No, I'm kidding. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the Lord is good, amen? And his love, his mercy endures forever. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. You know that old Pentecostal song? Well, I call it a Pentecostal song. Glory, 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 somebody touched me, and I know it was the hand of the Lord. While I was praying, somebody touched me. How many of you know that song? Come on now. It must have been the hand of the Lord. The fire is falling. Okay, I'm not going to sing it. There's so many different verses to that. But thank God, you know, there's a song that, you know, my mama recently went to heaven. And every night we would pray at 9 o'clock. We've done it for a couple of years. And but then we would sing every song known, that any Pentecostal song that was sung, we would sing it, you know, and then other songs as well, you know. But one that just comes to mind is we would sing, Lord, I'm running. Hey, somebody knows it. 99 and a half won't do, you know. And I mean, we would sing that and she would belt it out singing it and I would sing it too. You know how many times God, I mean, just showed up in her bedroom. I mean, just boom. Hey, Lord, how you doing? You know, and I mean, it was just some marvelous times. But you know, there's something about singing spiritual songs, singing songs that have come from heaven. Amen. I love singing songs from heaven. And you know, you can tell when it's not a song from heaven. You know, I mean, sometimes the words can even be scripturally correct, but it's not a song that was issued from the throne. It wasn't something that came down from the throne. It was man thought up. And I tell you, I remember listening to Pastor Clinton sing, oh, dear Jesus, he knew how to bring heaven down and would sing songs right out of his spirit. And there's nothing like that, singing songs. That's why I love Robin so much. I mean, she just sings right up out of her heart, you know, and she knows how to usher in the presence of God. You know, for years, I've always said, if you're going to be a person that sings or leads people into the presence of God, you better be a prayer. You know, a prayer knows how to enter in and go after things in God. And then when that prayer comes and begins to lead worship, what do? They take the people where they've been in God. And so it's so important, you know, to sing from your heart and to sing out of your heart. And man, you just know that's a song from heaven. Oh, where'd that song come from, you know? And then when they're unscriptural, you just need to kick those to the curb anyway, you know? But man, when you get a song from heaven, woo, glory, glory, glory. And you can't go wrong singing the word because it's his words, amen? Arise, shine. For the light has come. Come on. Rise, shine, for the light has come. For the glory of the Lord is risen. The glory of the Lord is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon me. You keep singing that for a while, come on. The glory of the Lord has risen. The glory of the Lord has come. And he has risen what? On me. He's in me. Everything he is. I always go back to that old Rhema Singer song that Jim used to lead. Everything he is. How many of you'd like to hear him sing that tonight? How many of you? Yeah. I think that would be amazing. I bet we could get the track real quick. Well, in fact, we have a person over here that can play anything. Right? I think he needs to come and just sing a line of it. Jim, come on, sing a line of it. He's so like, come on, Jim. Yeah, you can do it. Come on. Are you going to do it? He's going to do it. I'll hum beside you. I can't believe you're going to do it.
Did you notice how loving I was last night with the microphone? And yesterday morning that I never even mentioned Miss Leanne. I just thank God that love covers all sins.
Come on, you got it.
I don't even
everything
remember the words
he
anymore.
Is,
everything
he
is in me.
Yeah.
I've got the greater one on the inside, giving me everything I need.
Yeah.
He's my savior, my healer. Anyhow, that's all the voice I got this morning.
Yay, let's give him a hand. I'm really shocked that he even came up to do that. Come on, Jim, thank you. Don't make me do anything tonight, though. No, I do. Hello. If he says, Leanne, do something, I always go, yes, sir. Have I ever said no? Okay, because I'm so perfect and wonderful. Okay, we better get spiritual now. But everything he is in me. I've got the greater one on the inside giving me everything I need. How many of you know you've got the Holy One on the inside? You're never alone, never alone. He's always with you. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's with us always. So when you're happy, sad, mad, glad, whatever, God's still with you. So if you'll just turn the knob, you'll find, I don't have to be sad. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be. Are you with me? You have the greater one on the inside. How many of you know you've got to remind your soul that he's there? And the more you renew your mind in the word, meditate that he's there, the more real he becomes to you. Amen? Guys, how many of you love Jesus this morning? Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. I want us to turn in our Bibles real quick to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Hallelujah. For the word is alive in us. Amen. Hallelujah. I feel like I'm speaking in bass this morning. I don't know why, but Robin is the one that's got the raspiness going on. She was singing deep. She's got it going on, though. It's awesome. 1 Thessalonians, we've just been having a good time. How many have been enjoying what's been going on in these meetings? Amen? I know I have. I know I've been refreshed. I've been blessed and have enjoyed. Oh, my goodness. I'm leaving different. I'm leaving changed. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, this particular verse breaks, Paul breaks us down into a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. And he said, I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Now, I want you to look at that, and I want you to see where it says spirit, soul, body. It doesn't say body, soul, spirit. It says spirit first. Brother Hagin, I believe he coined the phrase, and he would have us repeat this all the time. I am a spirit. How many of you know this? I am a spirit. I live in a body, and I possess a soul. He would say that so often in the years that I was at Rhema in school that it just became a part of me. I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit. I am a spirit. I live in a body, and I possess a soul. The day that my dad went to heaven, we'll never forget it. All the family was there. He decided he wanted to go to glory. And I'll never forget, all of us as a family would, we sang, my family's, we all sing all the time. And so we would sing so much, every song, just you name it, we would sing it. You know, anything, gospel, of course, nothing but that. But I mean, we just had just music. We were singing all the time. And just having a marvelous time, even though your soul was like, Dad, why don't you stay? But he wanted to go. But I'll never forget something. Most of us had walked away from him, and my brother Josh was still standing beside him. And Josh said, and my niece Michaela was standing there too, both of them. But Josh said that when Dad, because Dad had his eyes closed most of that day and just resting. But he said, but there was a moment that Dad opened his eyes real big and he smiled real big and he went, whew, and he stepped over. Josh said, I saw Dad's spirit come up out of his body, out of his mouth, and go straight up. I go, are you kidding me, Josh? He goes, no. He goes, Leanne, I saw it. Guys, your spirit is what makes your body kick. Are you with me? It's your spirit that causes you to be who you are in Christ. And we've got somehow in this natural world, we've gotten things out of alignment. And we've got to get things back in alignment of who we are. That's why we've got to get in the Word and begin to meditate, engage His presence, fellowship with Him, connect with Him, and begin to realize, wait a minute, God made me like Him. God is, John 4:24, God is a spirit. And if He's a spirit, and I've been made in His image and likeness, like it says over in Genesis, then bless God, I'm a spirit. Turn to about two or three people and tell them I'm a spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm a spirit, I live in a body, and I possess a soul. Paul said it, I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. Thank God for revelation of the word. Thank God for the truth, amen? Here we are, we're a three-part being, and how important it is for us to take hold of, I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit, say that, I'm a spirit. Guys, you're not like Casper the Ghost floating around. Don't get into that thinking. We're not talking stupid now. We're talking truth, the revelation of the word. It's more real than anything else in this life. You're a spirit. You live in a body. You possess a soul. And how important it is for us to have spirit consciousness, to understand who we are and to operate in Him. And thank God He has given us His spirit to live on the inside of us. Now, we've had such marvelous meetings. And last night, man, I tell you what, I had so much fun. I enjoyed everything Annie taught on, Reverend. Annie taught on, I'll say Reverend. I mean, it was just amazing. It was amazing what Jim shared. And I tell you, I so just received and drank, took it all in. And then when that trumpet sounded last night, forget it, I was gone. I was like, oh, sweet Jesus. You know, sometimes, you know, some of you will understand this. If you're real musically inclined, there are certain sounds, especially even when you're a prayer, when you hear certain sounds, it will set you over. And there's been times in prayer school there on campus, the presence of God would be so strong, and I would be hearing all these sounds. And a trumpet has always been a sound I've always heard in prayer. And some people might say, well, that's a little strange. But guys, the deeper you go into God, the deeper you go further into your prayer life and yielding yourself to Him, you'll start seeing more, you'll start seeing so much, but you'll start hearing things. And so I, a lot of times, will hear things. And in prayer school, I so wanted the students to hear what I was hearing. And so before I would know it, I would be like singing like a trumpet. I would begin to, you know, just come up out of my heart. I can do it real quickly and I can do it real easy. And when Kevin just did that last night, it was just like, oh, and I felt like I was singing with the trumpet. I was prophesying with the trumpet. You can do things like this in prayer. And then when you have somebody that can play and does it and knows how to flow, it's wonderful. But in your own personal time, there are places in God that you can go where sounds will come out of you. And it will waken up things. It will cause doors to open. It will cause the atmospheres to change. It will cause you to operate in different dimensions. There's so many things that take place that when we pray in the spirit, when we sing in the spirit. So many churches in this hour do not even pray in tongues in their services, but I believe the hour has come where change is upon the body of Christ. Amen. I remember years and years ago, I was a youth pastor and I had come back to Winter Bible Seminar at Rhema. And Dad was teaching, Brother Hagin was teaching on being filled with the Spirit. And the whole thing was prayer, prayer, prayer. And I remember leaving the meetings and I would be, you know, go to sleep. I'd wake up praying in tongues. I would be singing in tongues. I'd be getting ready because there was such an impartation that took place and it became so real to me. I'll never forget that seminar. It became more real and my prayer language increased. How many of you know, like I said the other night, you should never have a dull time of prayer. If you are, it's because you're not engaging Him with Him, unto Him. You're not doing it in faith. When I pray, in the spirit, I pray from a place I know the Spirit of God because I know Him. I know He hears me. I know that as I pray, He is causing me to pray out the mysteries of God, whatever He desires done. And guys, there's so many dimensions in God. There's so many places in God. And when you think you've arrived at knowing all things, you'll find, oh my goodness, I only know a little bitty bitty piece because God is so large and infinite and big that when you begin to pray in the spirit, there are times that I'll see things while I'm praying. And while I'm praying, I'm wondering, Father, what is that? What are you showing me that for? What is that? And sometimes He won't tell me, but I get to ponder upon it. What was that? Next time I pray, I get a little more seeing and knowing happening. And it's like, okay. You know, I don't know about you, but I like praying from a place of faith where seeing and knowing just takes place. I believe that's part of what Brother Hagin was trying to get across to us about a spirit of seeing and a spirit of knowing. I think we've made it too difficult and hard when it's easy. It's simple. It's simple. You know, believe that when you're praying in an unknown tongue that you're speaking unto God. You are a spirit. And I like how one minister years ago said, you are a speaking spirit. And your voice needs to be heard. In English, what you hear by the Spirit, but also it needs to be heard. God will cause every word that comes out of your mouth while you're praying in the Spirit. God, the Holy Ghost, will help to articulate His heart so that His will can be accomplished in the earth. And so how many of us have prayed out the plan of God for our future? How many of us have been laying down the tracks, so to speak, for the train to roll? How many of us have been speaking and praying, and as we pray, no, I'm praying out my future. I'm late. Well, I think I'm old, and I think I'm done, and I'm almost this. And you got to stop all that mentality, because as long as you can speak, you are a voice in this earth. Amen? As long as you speak and can move your mouth, you can pray out the mysteries of God from one nation to another nation. You can go through the whole world, go all over the place by praying in the Holy Ghost. How many of you believe this? But when we're alone, too often we get in our head. Now, what is our head? Our soul, our intellect, right? Our emotions, our will, and all that, right here. And then when we get here, it cuts off what's happening here. And that's where we've got to take control and say no. You know how many times I've prayed and I've had to say no? I'd be sitting in prayer school years ago, even when Jim was over it. And he would be praying, and he'd say, Leanne, come up and pray with me. And I'd go up there and pray. And while I was walking up there, oh, Jesus, I thank you that I'm here. I'm awake and I'm praying. Because how many of you know you can pray in tongues and not engage your heart? And you want to engage your heart. And I made a decision a long time ago that when I pray, I'm going to give him my attention and I'm going to pray from my heart and engage him. Even when I'm tired, even when I don't think I'm making any sense, even when everybody else around me is snoring, I'm going to pray with all of my heart. I'm going to put myself into that prayer time. I am not going to go, blah, 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 get it, blah. Blah, 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 you know? How many of us have prayed like that? Come on, you might as well all raise your hands because we've done it. But God, I believe, deserves all of us. He deserves us from all that we are by giving him ourselves, and he deserves our attention. If the president called and said, hey, I want an appointment with you, I need to talk to you, and you would go and you'd be thinking, what's he want to talk to me about? But you would go with your teeth brushed. Your hair would look nice. You'd be dressed nice. And then when you walked in, you wouldn't pick up your cell phone when it rang. Oh, excuse me. Oh, yeah, man, huh? Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'll eat that tonight for dinner. Oh, yeah, okay, Oh, yeah, I'm just talking to the president. Would you do that? Whether you liked the man that's in the office now or not, you would still honor the office. The Bible says you're supposed to. You're supposed to pray for everybody that's in leadership, right? No matter who they are. Trump, Biden, who cares? We pray for that man to do the will of God. You might say, well, I don't even know if he's a believer or not. Hey, you Shondai him. I want to say something, but I want to be nice. But, you know, God, I'm telling you what, when we pray in the Holy Ghost for him, it's going to cause him to speak right out of his mouth. It's going to cause him to say right decisions. The other day we were praying, and I tell you what, I was smack dab up in that White House. And I saw all these angels that were there and some that had their hand like they were tied up and they were, ugh. And I started praying and I saw them. See, we as the body can't quit praying for that office. We got to stay after praying out the will of God for this nation, for the gospel of this kingdom must be preached. Are you with me? We've got to preach this gospel. We've got to pray for everybody in leadership. Hallelujah. Every nation, every land, every tribe, everybody. And we've got to do it in confidence and faith to where if you're going to go before the president, you're going to make yourself be attentive. You're going to make sure that your English is as correct as possibly as it can be. You're going to make sure that you don't sound dumb or stupid. You're going to give him attention. How much more should the Father of glory deserve our attention? Don't you believe that when you pray, he's listening? Don't you believe in 1 John chapter 5 that says, this is the confidence that I have in him. I've got confidence in him that when I pray, I know he hears me when I pray according to his will, according to his word. This is the confidence that I have in him. If I pray anything according to his will, his word, he hears me. And if I know he hears me, then I know I get what I've asked for. Are we supposed to pray in confidence? Well, I believe that verse just said it. Be attentive. But we're talking about praying in the spirit. I don't know what I'm saying when I pray in the spirit. See, you start thinking like, you start talking like that, then you're going to stay in a low place of prayer. When I pray in the Holy Ghost, I pray from a place of faith and confidence. I even act like I know what I'm praying. I even act like I know what I'm saying. And some people might say, well, that's just off because, you know, you don't know what you're saying. I might not, but the Holy Ghost on the inside of me, flowing through me, does. And I am a spirit, and I am yielding myself to him. And the more I do that in faith, guess what happens? Interpretation of what you're praying happens a lot. So when I pray in tongues, I don't pray from a place, but I pray from a place of And what am I doing? Oh, I'm praying out of my spirit. And as I pray from that place of faith and confidence, you know, I could have easily stepped over and prophesied or interpreted, that is, what I was praying. Part of it was about the glory of the Lord. And you can pray out things. It's amazing what happens when you do it on purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, on purpose. When you pray on purpose, you're going to find that you're going to hear, you're going to know, you're going to see. And there's no reason to have dull times in prayer. No dull times. Say this after me. I'm not ever going to have dull times in prayer. I'm going to engage my spirit. I'm going to engage my personality. In Jesus' name. I keep getting prompted to tell a stupid story. How many of you got some crazy stories? Well, I'm going to tell a crazy one. At first, you're going to think, what does this have to do with God? What does this have to do with church? But I'll break it down at the end, so stay with me. Those that know me or heard it, I'm telling the Jordan Almond story. Has anybody heard it? I'm in a church that I've not shared that story. Well, you know, I try to get away from sharing it because it really makes me look goofy. But here we go. I was a Rhema grad. I'm a youth pastor. I'm 20 years old. It's camp meeting time. I lived in Evansville, Indiana, and I wanted to go shopping to buy some new clothes. How many of you ladies like to buy some clothes? Amen. And so I tell you what, I was like, I got to go to camp meeting with some new clothes. And so I went to St. Louis, you know, St. Louis, Missouri, because that was real close to us, and they had a lot of malls, more than what we did. So I took one of my girlfriends with me, and she had a son, and he's about 7 years old. And we went shopping. We went to the first mall. You know, I found everything I wanted in that first mall. But you know, ladies, you know what you do. There's so many other malls to go to. You put it on hold in the store. Just hold it for me. I'll be back. I'll be back possibly. And so then, you know, in this particular first store mall that we went into, we were down on the lower floor. And my friend Connie, she's real outspoken and loud. And some would say, well, Leanne, you that way. I didn't used to be, though. I was shy. And so here we are walking in this mall, and there's a man there, and there's a few women standing around him talking. And guys, I'm telling you, he's talking so vulgar. He's talking so tacky. You don't need to be talking like that, especially out in public. There's kids here. What are you doing? And while we got closer to him, we heard, because he was talking loud. And my friend's got a 7-year-old. And so, man, she's covering his ears like this. And she's like, she's talking real loud. I can't believe he would talk like this, because she was really wanting him to hear her. I can't believe it. And I'm like going, Connie, come on, let's just go, you know? And so it was horrible. So guys, we went to the next mall. And then I said, stop. We're going back to the first one. We're getting everything there. We headed back there, went into the mall, got everything at the stores that we wanted. And now we had parked up on the second level. We're on the second level. And you know how it is. You know, you're like, did I miss a store? So we went over to the middle and looked over the banister and was looking for if there was any other store that we might want to hit before we left. And she had stopped and picked up some Jordan almonds. How many of you ever ate Jordan almonds? They're usually at weddings, you know. It's the candy coated, no chocolate. It is candy coated hard with an almond on the inside. And I mean, sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, you got to really crunch them. How many of you had them before? Come in all different colors and stuff. You know, that's why they use them in weddings. And so she had bought some and we're eating them, her, myself, and her son. And now this is back in late 80s. That's when Aquanet was really used a lot. That's when your hair was really high and big. I've always had big hair, but man, I tell you, then it was really high. Connie was a beautician, so you could imagine what we both looked like. We were decked out with all of our makeup, and our hair was really big and high and stuff, you know. And so here we are eating Jordan almonds, looking over the banister. Believe me, there is going to be a spiritual point here at some point. We're looking over the banister, and as we're looking down, eating these Jordan almonds, I go, Connie, look, there's that bald-headed guy again, and he's talking to more women. And she's like, ugh. I go, he is horrible. She's like, ugh. And then she had her Jordan almond in her hand, and she started following that shiny head. I go, she goes, dare me. I go, I don't dare you. I triple dog dare you. She goes, all right. Now her son is screaming laughing. He can't believe that we're doing this. You know, we're such good examples. And she's going around following that head. How many of you know you ain't gonna hit somebody on the head? Come on. We're on a second level. Here she's following his head, and I'm laughing, triple dog, dare you, come on, do it. And all of a sudden she goes, okay, whoop, and we watch it go. And then within seconds, that ball-headed head popped back because it hit the middle of his head. He looked back at us, and we jumped back. I go, Connie, you hit him on the top of the head. She's like, oh my Lord, and we're laughing. Then I peek back over to find that he had pulled his jacket open, had a walkie-talkie in his hand, and now he's running. And I go, Connie, you hit security on top of the head. And so we ran. We turned with all of our bags and her kid, our hairs flying in the air. We are running. Guys, Aquanet hair, big. We're running out of that mall. We got to out into the cars and we're ducking. All right, now I'm 20. She's 20, 21 or something. We're still kids, all right? Okay, would I do this now? I don't know. But we're decking down, you know, between the cars. And I turn around and peeked around the car. I go, Connie, there's 3 of them out here. I'm like, oh, my God. We got to her car and they couldn't see us at this point. And I got in the car because she's driving and I hit the button. Man, I'm laying down flat. And then she did it. I go, sit back up. You got to get us out of here. Her kid dove in the back seat. And I mean, he's laughing hysterically. We're freaking out. And you know, and so she's like, okay. So she's driving like a little old lady. You know, have you ever been behind somebody and their head looks like it's that big and you're wondering how they're touching the pedals? Am I the only one? And so that's what she looked like. She had, you know, made herself, you know, tried to. And man, we got out of that parking lot. We sped like crazy. But we forgot after we were out there on the highway, we were in a spot where there's no place you can stop. And it was for like 20 miles or so. And I told her, Connie was like, oh no, we were gonna get gas and I forgot. And I go, oh my goodness. I looked at her, I said, we're gonna have gas faith right now. And she said, she goes, okay. And I, because I was the Rhema grad, she wasn't, you know, and she didn't know. I was just, in the name of Jesus, we speak to this gas tank. You're going to take us all the way to the next gas station in 20 miles. And I'm telling you what, man, we were below E. How many ever driven below E before, you know? And I mean, oh, in the name of Jesus. And then I repented. Father, forgive us for dropping that Jordan almond on that man. Oh, Lord, forgive us, you know? You know, we're just being kids, stupid, you know? And so I'll never forget it. We finally got to that gas station, didn't run out of gas. And when the lid got taken off of that gas tank, have you ever had it do this? When you took it off, it just went, it lets you know it had, it was out. And did you notice that in this, that as I'm sharing, I put my personality into it. I shared how it happened. Did you guys see it? Did you guys see them all? You saw his head. You saw the Jordan almond because of how I was talking, how I was sharing, how I was putting myself into the story. What if I'd set up here and said, I want to tell you a story about a Jordan almond. I needed clothes. I went to the mall. We found some clothes. There was a man that talked about stuff that was really bad. It was horrible and it was bad, but we went ahead and went shopping everywhere else, came back, picked up those clothes, looked over the banister, and there was that guy again, just with a bald head, just talking vulgar probably again, but it's horrible. And we're eating Jordan almonds and I triple dog dare you to drop that Jordan, Connie. And then she just dropped it and he looked up and we ran because he was security and we got out to the car, got away, and we had to believe God for gas. And, went to the gas station, got there fine. And when the gas tank, when it was open, it just went, psst, and we got back home. That was actually a little more exciting than I even do it a little more boring. But guys, doesn't God deserve your personality? Doesn't he deserve who you are? Some people think, Liam, that's just crazy. No, when you put your personality, for instance, all of a sudden, Pastor Sarah says she wants to talk to you. You respect, you honor her, you love her. So what are you going to do? You're going to put your best on, your best personality. You're going to put a smile on your face and engage her. You're not going to look at her and go, uh-huh, what'd you want? What'd you want? Are you kidding? You're going to engage her. You're going to be like, yes, ma'am. Here I am. You're going to start talking. You're going to start respecting and honoring and talking to her in love. And you're going to put the best you on. How much more should our Father God deserve the best you? Are you with me? Now, this might sound a little goofy to share all of this like this, but that's a third time he told me to tell that Jordan almond story. If I'm at Rhema, I used to get Jordan almonds all the time because I'd tell that crazy story. But guys, God deserves you. He deserves you. You might say, but I'm faking. I'm faking when I'm putting on. Hi, how are you? How many of you know you need to put the best you out there all the time? So when I'm talking to my Father, I'm not going to go, okay, I'm going to pray. I've got 10 minutes. I'm going to pray. Oh, regere de grace, gila moja. No, I'm first of all, I'm going to put my phone away. I'm going to let those in the house know I need personal time. And then when I get in there, I'm not going to go, oh, God, I whine and whine and whine and whine. You know, too many times we're so caught up praying about ourselves. If we would just yield and pray what God has and what he needs done in the earth and what he desires done, it's okay to pray. You can pray for yourself. I'm not saying you can't. But if that's all you're doing, then you're missing it. You take care of kingdom business, God will take care of your business. When we pray in the Holy Ghost, we're opening up doors of utterance. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're opening up doors for the kingdom to have his way in this region. Last night when we were praying, I saw this area. This morning when I was praying, I saw New York. God is going to do a work like never before in this state, in these cities, in all these cities. There's a work, but he needs your mouthpiece. He needs you to speak it out, to pray it out, and to do it with your heart. Engage him. Put your personality into it. Don't be boring. Who likes to talk to anybody that's monotone? I don't like it. I used to have a teacher that used to teach very monotone, just like this, and I would fall asleep all the time. I would go back and look at my notes and I would have a few lines that made sense, and then some of them started going down, down, down the paper. Because I fell asleep. Oh. And you know what I had to do in that class? I'll never forget it. Patsy said it in prayer school one day. She said, you need to be praying in the Holy Ghost in your classrooms. Do it quietly on the inside. And ask God, I receive everything that person's got. And I'm taking it in Jesus' name. So I thought, whoa, that class, I really need to do that. And so I'll never forget it. I started doing it. I started praying to the Spirit, just quietly on the inside. Nobody knew I was, but I was sitting on the edge of my little seat. Yes, Father, I'll show you. Oh, yeah, I'm getting this. But I was doing it. You know, I started getting revelation because that man had so much in him. But his voice was so, and so it made me go, you know. And so what did I have to do? And then as I did that, oh, my Lord, I got more out of his classes than any. Because I engaged God by praying in the Spirit to take hold, because I'm a spirit. And I took hold. And I'll never forget it one time, because I used to be real shy when I was a Rhema student. And I'll never forget it one time while I was doing it, he said something, man, it ignited me. And I meant to say amen or hallelujah, and I shouted out in tongues instead. And the people around me just, and I just was like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed, I'm so embarrassed, I'm so embarrassed, you know. But it just gets down. The more you engage his presence, does it matter if somebody's got a boring or monotone voice? There's still things you can receive and take hold of. But can you imagine if you would engage God with your best every time? That's how we used to do it in prayer school. That's how I do it all the time. You might say, Leanne, are you that perfect that you really don't pray boring sometimes? When I'm by myself sometimes and I'm not renewing my mind as much as I should and I'm just getting discouraged about something, I might start off that way, but then I smack myself. Stop it. You're talking to the Most High. You're talking to him. He deserves my undivided attention. I want to engage him. Sometimes you just got to kick flesh, right? And then when you engage him, it's like, oh, man, this is awesome. This is great. But we've got to engage his presence. And when you pray in the Spirit, pray from a place of confidence, from a place of faith. But you believe that what you're doing is bringing and causing tremendous power to be made available. Turning your Bibles to John 7:38. Let's look at this verse. We know it. We've heard it. We've been taught. We've taught it. You've preached it probably yourself to somebody. And it's a really awesome verse. And it talks about out of your belly flows rivers of living water. How many of you believe you've got rivers of living water flowing out of you today? Amen. I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation. I love it from the Passion Translation, if I can get to it here. It's John 7:38. Glory, glory, glory. Can you say glory?
Glory.
You are awake, right? All right. Now, we know that Jesus is speaking here, and he said, believe in me. This is the Passion. Believe in me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you. I like that. Flowing from your innermost being, just like the scripture says. Out of my belly flows rivers of living water. Believe in me, and those rivers of living water, they'll burst out from you. I think some of us need some bursting going on. Some of us need to identify that we do have the Holy Spirit and he desires to pray through us, and I need to engage him and pray in faith and confidence. And as I do, my prayer language is going to increase. My prayer language is going to carry me into the unknown. Brother Hagin said that when you pray in the Spirit, it is the vehicle into this, the realm of the Spirit. It takes you in. And the more you do it in faith, Brother Hagin used to say it years ago. They could probably quote it much better than me. But how that he said, it used to take him hours to step over into the Spirit. Then he got it down to 4 hours. What is it? 2 hours, and then he got it down where he'd just step over. Too many times when we hear a man of God, a woman of God minister, we think, well, that's how I'm going to have to do it. It's going to probably take me hours, and then it's going to... But Brother Hagin used to tell us, students, he would say to us, I remember one time him standing on the edge of the platform, and I thought, his shoes were half off, and he began to shout, you better not start back where I was. You better start where I've left off right here. He would say that. You better start right here. Meaning, don't take 5 hours to get over. Excuse me. Don't take 3 hours to get over. I remember when we begin to get more revelation in prayer school and we begin to realize we could just step over by faith. I tell the story often about how I was sitting at my desk as the prayer coordinator at Rhema. And as I'm sitting there, I had a slew of things that I was praying about concerning Rhema. I'm the prayer coordinator. And I'm sitting there, and I'd been praying about some of them for days, some for a few weeks. And I was getting tired. Do you like how I said that? Very Texan. Tired. I am not going to say y'all. No, I'm not going to do it. I live in Texas, but I'm not going to do it. Kevin, it's not going to happen. But anyway, what was I telling? Oh. And I'm sitting there and I'm like going, ugh, praying in the Spirit. And I'm like, Father, this is ridiculous, ugh. Felt like a brick wall was in front of me and I couldn't get over that brick wall. It was just like, I got to get these things prayed out. Why is it taking so much time? And I'm praying in the Spirit, and the Spirit of God said to me, he said, why don't you act like you're on the other side of the wall? I go, what? Act like I'm on the other side. Well, how do I do that? Because I'm sitting at my desk. I'm praying and I feel like I'm hitting up against a brick wall. He said, act like you're on the other side. And so I thought, well, how do I act like I'm on the other side? Well, I guess I would be happy because I would have prayed through it. And my tongue would probably be different. And so I decided, okay, I'm going to act like I'm on the other side. I'm going to change the dialect, and I'm just going to be happy. And so I did it. And then all of a sudden, I realized, I prayed through it all because I made a decision to step over by faith. He said, act like you're on the other side. See, too many times the circumstance, situations, things that you're praying about seem so heavy. It's not heavy on him. And you as a spirit have all power. You have his efficiency, his ability, his might. Acts 1:8, efficiency, ability, his might, his power, the Holy One. Everything he is in me. So all I have to do is step over in faith. So when complications and things are in front of me, I don't, please. I'm not leaning on me. Today we were listening to something in the room, you know, and Nancy Harmon used to sing the song, Nothing's Too Big for My God. I think we sang it a little bit in the RSMB. I can't remember. Wiser than a man named Webster. What is it, honey? Eternal deity. Do we remember singing this song? Stronger than a locomotive, faster than a bullet speed, right? Why? Yeah. So, you know, you think about that. God is amazing. There is nothing too big for him. There's no impossibilities. If he's given you something to pray about, if there's something you're walking through, guess what? He's already caused you to win. He's already given you all authority, power, everything you need, but you've got to operate within him. And you've got to see things the way he sees it and not the way the world dictates to us. I have to be sick. I have to have COVID. No, I haven't had COVID and I'm not going to get COVID. Are you with me? You know, I don't get sore throats. I don't get colds. I don't get flus. I don't get viruses. How many of you know you got to speak the word? You got to say, you got to declare what's in your world. Are you with me? I'm not going under. I always go over. How many of you know you got to be vocal? That's why Jesus said, speak, speak, speak to the mountain. How many times did he say, speak to the mountain? We've got to speak. We've got to declare. You know, it's a part of our DNA. We are supposed to be speaking spirits full of the Holy Ghost and power, and we're supposed to be speaking his thoughts, talking his way. And I tell you what, some people think, man, that's just too difficult. That sounds like works. Are you kidding me? The more you get in God, the more you realize it's peaceful, it's joyful, it's amazing. He'll open up doors that no man can shut. He'll cause things to come to you when everybody else is going, wah, 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 call the ambulance. We're going, hallelujah. Are you with me? Victory is ours. Doesn't matter if you're believing God and people in the world are saying, no, you can't have it. No, you can't have it. No, you can't have it. If God said it's yours, it's yours. You step out by faith. Revelation light flows when you pray in the Holy Ghost and you put your heart into it and you engage his presence. And then guess what happens as you're praying? You'll begin to lay down tracks. Like we said, tracks will be laid out and you'll have tracks to go on like a train. If a train doesn't have tracks to go, then it's going to stop when it gets to the end or crash at the end. You don't want to crash. You don't want to burn. You want to be able to go down this path that God has laid out for you and run the race that he's called you to run in victory. The favor of God is upon you. It's time for us to actually start believing the Bible and speaking it like it's true because it is. Shut up soul, shut up mind, speak the word and the word will come to pass every time. Don't make me start singing something because the truth is victory is ours. You're not defeated. You never have been defeated. You've got the greater one on the inside. The great revealer is there. He reveals and show things. This building that you're in right now that's debt-free, it's been paid off. You think about it. Don't you know that Pastor Sarah and Pastor Clinton, when they went after these things, they didn't take no for an answer about anything? Are you kidding? I can't imagine Pastor Sarah ever taking a no. If she knows something, she's standing. And she's not going to be moved. Is that just for her and the pastoral staff to operate this way? It's for all of us to live this life. It's all of us. Glory to God. Turn to Romans chapter 8 with me. You guys okay with this? Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The part of this verse I want to talk about where it talks how the Spirit, the Holy One, when we don't know how to pray like we ought, the Holy Spirit helps us. As Dad Hagen would say, now look closely, doesn't say the Holy Ghost is going to do it for you. It says he's going to help you. So that means you're going to have to engage his presence and pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The Amplified says, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Now, guys, hold your finger there. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians. Ooh, glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to read it. I'll read it from the King James. You know, this is the verse where, or the place where Paul's talking. You know, I came to you not with excellency of speech, of wisdom, declaring unto the testimony of God. For I determined to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, we could stop and preach for a while right there, but that's not what I want to talk about. I want to go down a little further. Now, look at verse 9. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, stop right there. As a Pentecostal girl, I remember sitting listening to my pastor preach this verse all the time. Verse 9, verse 9, verse 9, verse 9, verse 9. I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But when we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. We'll understand and we'll be, and it would just be preached like that. So from a little girl up to I was 18 and at Rhema, I never knew that there was a verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. I mean it completely through verse 9 out of the way. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. How many of you want to understand and understand the deep things of God? Glory to God. Did you know you have his depth on the inside of you? Who he is, everything he is. Jim's little song that he sang, his little ditty that he came up and sang. So proud of him. Hallelujah. I want to read this from the Passion Translation. But God now unveils these profound realities to us by his Spirit. Yes, he has revealed to us his inmost heart, deepest mysteries through the Holy Spirit who constantly explores all things. Guys, whew, I don't know about you, we can stop right now and go home. The Holy Spirit on the inside of us We know him. He lives in us. And he's the great revealer of truth. Verse 9, I have not seen. Verse 10, but God has revealed them. To who? To us. I'm walking around with the great revealer. Well, Leanne, what are you going to do? In my head, sometimes I don't know. So, you know, whatever the Holy Ghost wants. I used to tell the students, when people come up to you, go, well, where are you going to go? What are you going to do after Rhema? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because the students sometimes would be haunted by that. People trying to put them out in ministry right away, and they don't know yet. And I'll tell them, don't you ever tell somebody you don't know the will of God. You have the great revealer on the inside of you. You just look at him and say, well, praise the Lord, the Spirit of truth knows, and when I need to know, I'm going to know. So I'm just happy right now. You know, I remember when I broke up with this guy, we were engaged and everything and had planned the wedding. And oh, thank you, Jesus, I didn't marry that man. Hallelujah. I'm sure he's wonderful, but to me, he was not my wonderful. Hallelujah. And but I remember when we broke up, one of the thoughts that came to me is all the people that are going to ask me, well, what happened? Well, what happened? Well, what happened? I didn't want to relive it anymore. And I thought, it's none of their business. And so when I get asked it, the trillion times that I got asked, I would look at them and I would say to them, well, thank God we're obeying God and we're going down the paths we're supposed to go to. Glory to God. And my man is on my path. Hallelujah. And then they just kind of look at you like, right, okay. And it's like, yeah, you ain't getting none of my business. And I don't want to relive it. How many of you know when something bad has happened, something that messed up your soul and your emotions, the more you keep talking about it, the bigger it gets, right? You might have even given it to the Lord, laid it down at the altar, cast your cares, you doing good. You say you're not going to talk about it again, but you hadn't seen that friend, and that friend comes in, oh, I'm so sad, what happened? And then you're like, I know. And then you download it all over again. And then before you, at the end of it, you realize, I just did it again. Now I'm all messed up again. You got to guard your soul. You got to guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. And when you get your soul so messed up, the guarding of your heart is not easy. You've got to guard your heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, you got to guard your heart. And you got to watch what we're speaking and what we're saying. You might say, well, this just seems like bondage. Man, I just need to be free. Guys, living this life in God is free. Look at somebody and say, I'm free. Do you believe that today? I'm almost done. I want you to look again here at Romans chapter 8. I just wanted to let you see that in 1 Corinthians, that God has revealed profound realities to us by his Spirit. How many of you know, as we spoke on the other night, God has destiny for your life? Remember Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision down. Write it down. Tarry, wait for it, and it'll come to pass. It shall come to pass. How many of you know you've got to pray out the plan of God? You've got to go after it. And as you're praying, allow him to pray through you. And while you're doing it, guys, in everything that we do, have confidence in the word, that the word's working. I'm praying in confidence. He hears me. I'm praying according to his word. Romans chapter 8 says, when you don't know how to pray like you should, then pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, I was getting older, and I wanted to be married. I remember when I was a Rhema student and I graduated, God said to me, he said, ministry's going to come first for you and then your husband. Well, at 20 years old, you hear something like that. Wow, okay. So you do ministry, you're doing life. About 25, you're thinking, okay, where is he? Then 30 came. Are you kidding me? God, where is he? Am I ever going to get married? Come on. If I watch another Hallmark movie and cry at the end because I don't got my man, come on. Come on. Where is he? And then all of a sudden, I begin to realize something. I need to pray in the Holy Ghost for that person that's coming in my life. I need to pray for him. And then I need to pray that he finds me. Because the Bible says he's going to find me. And so I begin to get in faith about it. In other words, started speaking in confidence. God, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart. And because you said that, there's a desire in my heart to have a partner, to have a mate. And I thank you that he's out there. And I thank you that he's finding me. You said it. You said it. You desired fellowship with Adam and Eve. You desired fellowship. Don't expect me not to have that fellowship. I want my partner. I want my husband. And Father, I thank you that you're going to give him to me. I thank you he's going to find me. Oh, I rejoice in it. And man, I started getting into a place of such assurance that it's happening. Just it's happening. And here in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I like a translation. It's called the Carpenter Translation. It's out of print now. But I like how it puts it. And it says, you're not left alone, as I said just now, or possession of, or rather are being possessed by. The Holy Spirit teaches us to use aright the discipline of life and bridges for us the gap between the present and the future. Did you hear that? The Holy Spirit, now we're reading, this is a translation of Romans 8, 26, that the Holy Spirit will help us pray. The Holy Spirit bridges the gap between the present, this moment right now, and the future. And the next line says, not only does he bridge the gap between the present and the future, but between life here and life in the eternal world. The Holy Spirit bridges that gap. You begin to pray in the Spirit and you feel like, man, I don't know anything spiritually, but you begin to pray in the Spirit, engage your heart in him, and you're praying. Oh, resekiri banji care of rosu door to manji care to see today. Oh, light to see, oh, broso dabre berin dangre vesh today. Oh, and as you begin to pray, see what happens is you'll begin to see over into that realm. And in that realm, he will reveal to you things concerning your future. Now, he won't lay down absolutely every detail of it usually. Sometimes he'll give you more, but he'll give you, you'll have knowings or you'll see something or you'll just be like, oh my goodness, I'm on top of this. And the more you stay after it, more revelation light will flow. So I got into faith. Concerning my husband, God, you bridge the gap between the present and the future. Well, right now in the present, my man ain't here. Do you like that English? But he ain't. And I want him to be here. And so I'd begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Hon, stand up. Let's do this. I'd begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And as I pray in the Holy Ghost, the Holy One bridges the gap between my right now and my future. So as I begin to pray in the Spirit in faith, oh bresikili manjge, oh bresigino broso dorza prandesi today. Oh God, is he coming? God, is he ever gonna get here? What's happening? See, I start getting negative. I start going against what's in my heart and what I'm believing. And then I gotta slap myself. Stop it. Father, you said you'd give me the desires of my heart, and I thank you that man, my man, oh, my man, he's fine. I can smell his cologne. He's finding me. Oh, resikili manjgi dele bresalo manjgu dovraste. Ongregi sigirino bresci grovo soda brande. I'm getting so tired of waiting. I'm just bored. If I watch another movie, dear God. But oh, bresikili manjde, ha, 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 I see him, I see him, I'm seeing him. Oh, bresikili manjde, oh, bregeste grisige, okay, you can speed up a little bit. Oh, brekisi bregaste, that's what I wanted to say. Oh, bresikili manjde, oh, rosta abre, beste, brova, shulda, brada de, oh, man. No, oh, bresikili manjde, oh, bra, oh! All of a sudden, That man that I was praying for in the spirit, that was my husband, as I prayed in faith, all of a sudden, here he is in the flesh. My Italian stallion right here. Hallelujah. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're bridging the gap between the future, the present, or the future, help me, the present to the future. So in other words, I'm in right here, but as I'm praying in faith, I'm bringing in God's plan for my life. Thanks, honey. And as I'm praying in that plan, yes, he did good, didn't he? But as I'm praying out the plan, it's causing his will, God's will, to come to pass. At that time, I was praying with a few other ladies. And they were believing God for their mates, and they were a little older than me. Okay, some were much older than me. And as we're praying, man, we were having, whoo, good times, whoo, good times. Hallelujah, glory to God. Just, you know, you need to have buddies to encourage you and to help you, you know. Man, we're excited. Our men are coming. Glory to God, man, they are fine. I'd always say, man, I can smell his cologne. Glory to God, man, he is fine. Oh, bregadili, manjigetabota, you know, I'm after it. But then all of a sudden I realized, I went into a prayer time with them, and they're both kind of, guys, come on, let's get after it. Well, I've just decided that if God wants me to be married, then he'll just bring him. I go, oh, I don't think I would go after it like that. I believe I would stay in faith because it's the will of God for you to be healed, but you've got to go after it. You've got to take it. You got to take your healing. You got to take the things that God's given. Am I wrong to say it like that? You've got to take. And I'm like, man, I said, I don't think I'd be praying like that. I think I'd be still going after it in faith. Well, I'm married and they're not today. It's so important. And they're beautiful ladies. There was no reason for them not to be married. When we pray in the Spirit, we're praying out our future. We're praying out the plan. We're praying. It bridges the gap between the present and the future. And then it goes on to say, it bridges the gap between life here in this natural world to life in the eternal world. Guys, right now, you're living in eternity. You might say, oh no, I have to wait till I get there and then I will be. No. You're an eternal being. You are born again, filled with the Spirit of God. And I'm here to tell you, you're never going to die. My mom is still alive. My dad is still alive. Pastor Clinton is still alive. They're all living. They just got to go before us. They're in our future. They're going to be in my forever. I'm an eternal being. So as an eternal being, I need to get on board and do what I'm supposed to do here because I'm only in training for what's going to be going on over there. I say, what are you talking about? I thought I was going to float around on bed of ease and, you know, walk down the streets of gold and, you know, and just be so wonderful. And yeah, you're going to have all of that. I'm sure you will. But there's things going on. Can you believe that God would be sitting around just twiddling his thumbs? Believe me, he's got activity. There's things going on that we don't know about. Are you with me? Ha. Angule frushta. Zegru fagalu bidir of rida, million dang door doors, the seed of banda day. And it will be a force, the sea of prasta bro fange day. And it will be a bracelet at a bambro gusto or de vein. For I've set you up to live in me in this earth. To live from a place of faith and victory, pursuing that which you've heard. When you operate in me, you will pray from such places that will cause your mind to be elevated, a place of seeing and knowing. And as you do, revelation shall flow and understanding will come. You've been wondering about this. You've been wondering about that. And I've called you. I've equipped you. And I've given you all that you need for that. But you've got to pray it out and go after it. For I've given the keys to the kingdom to you. So will you speak and will you pray? Will you come and go after me? And if you do, I'll show you what to do. Huh? I see doors opening in front of you. I see doors opening in front of you right now. Opportunities. Oh, yeah, where it seemed dark. Yeah, no, look unto me. Pray in the Holy Ghost and you'll have eyes that see. Supernatural favor beyond your days. Understanding that will flow from you will cause others to rise up and say, I can do all things through Christ. I can run this supernatural wave. I can run and engage my Father and live in a place of peace in Him. Why don't we lift our hands up and just worship for just a moment? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, regadingi labuluba lafrijingi delade. Oh, yeah. Begin to pray in the Holy Ghost in a new and different way. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Even change your dialect a little bit. Oh, dabri se get it a braski gross to the low gross at it. Ambresa, engro vorsta, abreva solo doors and a seal and a mind to stay the race and die abroad. Oh, brefasha de la day. unseen realm. And I hear him say, it's not gonna be long. It's not gonna be long, no. I'm coming back. But there's work yet that must be done. So that you're able to pray, hear the word on prayer, and you're able to go. Guys, I believe that impartations have been made this weekend or this week. Even this morning, the simplistic word of God, just the simple things. You know, I don't act like I know a lot, you know? All I know is I know him and I love him. Sometimes my words can get twisted and tangled. Sometimes I might say a word that I think it means one thing and it means something else. Done that a time or two. But you know what? God loves me for me. And I can pray out of my heart. And his plan is what will come to pass. And that's what I see. His will, his plan, his purpose. I'm not moved. I left Rhema because God dealt with us to leave, to go launch a church. Pastor and Miss Lynette, they didn't want us to go, but they let us. And every step that we've taken has been a step that's been already been laid. That's right. Right now, we have close to 30 people that are with us that we never even asked to come or to be a part. And most of them are fivefold ministry gifts. Most of them could take off leading without a problem, but they've learned submission because they've been in the ministry of helps for so many years. And Jerry and I will sit in awe. God, you brought them. One couple that just showed up. They saw somebody, God dealt with them to move to Texas. They thought they were supposed to get involved at Eagle Mountain. And they had one of the girls got, or the wife got online and was on Facebook, and she saw her old prayer leader was living in Texas. And so she texted her, "What are you doing here in Texas? Where are you at?" She goes, "Well, we're in Rockwall, and we are helping Pastor Jerry and Pastor Leanne pioneer a church." "What?" She goes, "I didn't know they were here. Do you think we could come?" And so this woman, you know, is now our children's pastors. Her and her husband are associates of the church. She texts me and she said, "Pastor Leanne, so-and-so, I don't know her, but you know," I go, "I don't know her, but you know her." And she said, "Yeah," she said, "she's wonderful. They're great. They're just wanting to come. And I didn't want to say they could come because we're in launch meetings. It's in my house. It's not the church. The building isn't yet, but it is in Jesus' name." And so I told her, I said, "Yeah, tell them to go ahead and come. Tell them to come." They walked into the house. We greeted them. They said they knew when they got in the house and when they got back in the car, they both looked at each other and said, this is where we're supposed to be. We went out the next day or so, took them out to lunch to share the vision of what God's given us. And they begin to cry. This is where we're supposed to be. And Jerry and I afterwards were like, in the car, here's another couple. God, you're doing this. Unless God builds the house, they labor in vain that built it. But see, we've prayed it out. And when you pray things out, it helps people. Where they were wandering off to the left and they're supposed to be with you, you just keep praying in the Spirit for the plan and the mandate and that the right people come in. And guess what happens? It causes the Holy Ghost to even more go hook them. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Bring them right on the path. Pray out the plan. Pray it out. And then you'll walk it out. And you'll take people into places in ministry, in dimensions of God that they never knew were. Where the supernatural is our natural. It's natural to be a spirit, to be conscious of Him, aware of Him, engaging Him. And praying out His plan for this age. What is God doing? He is raising up churches that will operate in Him in faith and confidence, just like this one, that will operate in the gifts of the Spirit and just do whatever He says. To operate out of our relationships with Him and deliver who He is to the people. To not get a big head where the Spirit of God says, oh, so-and-so's got something. We've already trained our team. You come to church ready. Because at any time, you could be given the service. At any time, you can be called upon. With a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, come to church ready. Come to church ready. We've prayed it out so much that one day we were praying with a group of people and all of a sudden I'm praying in tongues. And as I'm praying in tongues, I spoke Azusa. And I stopped. Everybody kept praying, but I stopped and I said, did I say Azusa? I thought, huh, that's wild. Then I went back. All of a sudden, my eyes were opened to the realm of the Spirit. I saw the church. I saw the glory so thick in the church. I saw people lined up outside of the building, waiting to step in to the glory of God. They were coming to be healed, to experience Him, to enjoy Him. And then we were gonna, and I saw us just plowing into them. You carry this glory with you. This is who you are. This is who you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. In Him you live and move and have your being. The same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in you, quickens your mortal body. Are you with me, guys? You pray out the plan of God, and it shall come to pass. Remember that one? No? Keith Moore. I don't know if I know it all. It shall come to pass. What is it? What the Lord has said to me, it shall surely be. It shall come to pass. Let's sing it. Oh, it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. What the Lord has said to me, it shall surely be. It shall come to pass. How many of you believe it? Stand up and sing it. Oh, it shall come to pass. What's going to come to pass? The will of God. It shall come to pass. What the Lord has said to me, you guys. Hallelujah.